Hello, coaches. This is Susan Hyatt again, and I'm here with the fantabulous Jill Farmer and the ass kicker who is Nona Jordan. Hi, guys.
Hello, Susan.
And so this is the second supplemental recording for Bringing Your Practice to Life. This time we're jamming about how to bring your practice to life in your life. So this is for everyone, really, whether you want to have a full-time coaching practice or not. And one of the things back in 2009, 2010, when I was running the Life Coach Training Program, so much of our focus with the marketing series was for people who wanted to start a coaching practice. And what we started to notice, was that there was a growing number of coach cadets who weren't in the training to start a business. They either just wanted to use it for personal development to enrich their personal lives, or they wanted to learn the coaching tools to bring it to what they were already doing. And so that's what we're here to talk about right now. And there are plenty of examples in the Martha Beck coaching community of coaches who have taken what they've learned in this training and completely rocked it out in ways that that are amazing and healing the world within corporations. And an example that comes to mind is someone that I went through Master Coach training with is a great coach named Sharon Flieger. She actually works in HR for Gulfstream Aerospace. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Gulfstream, it's a plane manufacturer. And she lives down in Savannah, Georgia, which is my hometown. And it's so cool to think about the healing that she has brought to pretty much a good old boys network down in Savannah, Georgia, plane manufacturing. She has brought thought work and being future-focused and self-awareness and losing the ego into a corporation that had never experienced such. And what was interesting about it, and there may be some of you who are listening to this recording who feel this way, that you're in an environment that maybe previously you thought you didn't want to be in, but deep down you know you're meant to be the light in that environment. I do believe that that's how Sharon eventually came to understand was how she needed to use this work. And what she has done there has been amazing. Trickled down throughout the company and throughout their efforts and the things that they're even bringing to the community down there and sponsoring. They have a whole Live Well, Be Well program that I know was influenced tremendously by Sharon. So I share that example because I know there perhaps may be some of you listening to this who are thinking, how do I do that? And the way that you do that is you live it to give it. You find opportunities to do lunch and learns within your company or your organization. I know that my last 90 days in real estate, I remember thinking, this was the best 90 days I ever had in real estate, and it was because I was using the coaching tools that I had learned on my clients, on my fellow realtors, on myself, for sure, and how I operated. I was coaching people at the closing table. I remember I had this young couple, and the whole transaction had been pretty painful. And we got to the closing table, and this young man, they were not married, but they were expecting a child. And this young man was just being hateful about the whole process. And I asked everyone to leave the room of the closing except for he and I. And I coached him. And I remember saying to him, he said, well, I have to do this. I have to buy this house because that's what a real man does. Wow. And I Byron Katie'd the hell out of it. And he ended up following through with the transaction, but with the belief that it was not because that's what a real man does, but that's because that is the belief was, I want to provide love for my child, whether or not I stay together with the mother. So there was all this tension. And it was, honest to goodness, I remember I sent Martha Beck an email that day, and I said, that exchange with that real estate client was worth every bit of tuition I paid to go through your program, because he went from fighting and being nasty to being filled with love in about 10 minutes at a real estate closing table. And so I know that I could go back into real estate and have a completely different experience than the other 5 years prior to that. I don't wanna, but I could. I could bring the tools every day into how I interacted with coworkers and clients. And so I think bottom line, whether you create a business or not, this work will change you and everyone you come in contact with. What do you think, Jill?
Great, great points. And I also, I have a couple of people who went through coach training with me, and I have to say this has just been such a shift, even in the last couple of years. I think, and I don't know how you guys feel, but I think when we went through coach training, if we would have, somebody would have said, oh, and you can go get a job, like, and get paid benefits and work for a company, and your job title will be life coach, we would have been like, I don't think so. And now I know people who are working as coaches, and everything from a national insurance company. This person has a you know, master's in business from Thunderbird, as well as Martha Beck coaching certification, and was really able to marry those two things by coming up with language, by teaching things in their training programs as they train agents and others that are really in line with Martha Beck's stuff about teaching people that it's not your circumstances, it's your thoughts about your circumstances that create your suffering, and all the other things that we learn as tools as coaches, and put them sort of within the business vernacular, and that's a gift of hers. And so she's been really wonderful in that organization. Another coach that I know is working in a publicly funded community agency in Texas, doing coaching for and working with families and senior adults on transitions that happen as people move out of independent living and into different environments. And she runs groups, and she does individual programming, and she just really gets to do a lot of the things that individual coaches might provide within their private coaching practice, but doing it within the constraints of the organization, and it's really been helpful. I also know some peeps who do what we'll call a side hustle coaching. So, for instance, a coach friend who I knew through coach training, who has always worked as a psychotherapist in a hospital system, and decided even after coach training that she got clear on exactly the kind of work she wanted to do. She found a job that provided that, and then on the side, she coaches kids who are recently graduated from college and does some career coaching with them. So she still has her day job, so to speak, but she is really fulfilled and is lit up by the side hustle coaching that she does with a different population of people. So those are just a few examples of people that I know in my life that have really have not opened up their own private practices, but are definitely using coaching in their daily life.
You know, I love those examples, and you're right. I mean, coaching is still pretty much a baby industry. It was really only started to be recognized in the 70s, and so I always giggle when one of the lizard beliefs coaches have is that, oh, the market's so saturated with coaches. Oh, my gosh, we haven't even gotten started. I know of a woman here who was having some difficulty with her teenage son, and he needed not a boot camp style place, but he needed some kind of boarding school facility that worked with kids who had mood disorders and depression and anxiety and lots of different issues. And she found this place, I believe it's in Michigan, and when she told me the name of it, she was so relieved when she found it, because a lot of the things out there for quote-unquote troubled teens are very punitive kind of scary places, and she definitely didn't want to send him someplace like that. And so she told me the name of the place. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but when I Googled it, what astounded me was that they have a team of life coaches in addition to licensed therapists and psychiatrists on staff. They have a team of life coaches that once the kids get to a certain point in the program, life coaches are working with them on goal setting and, you know, all kinds of techniques. And I emailed the guy that's the head of therapy there and just said, you know, hey, I'm a life coach and I just want to say I think it's really cool that you guys employ a team of life coaches and blah, blah, blah. And he said, that's been recent in the past couple of years. And what we've noticed is that the feedback from families after the children get home, that not only are the parents have always been like, mostly really positive feedback, like, yes, thank you for helping my child. What they're noticing now, though, with adding life coaches to the staff is that the change has been more sustainable, that it used to be that they felt like they had to really educate the parents on how to work with their kids at home, which they still do, but that by working with life coaches, these kids are now able to help themselves and not relying on their parents to sort of baby them, if you will. So anyway, I thought that was a cool example too.
That is fantastic.
I know. I just can't, you know, life coaching is becoming very highly sought after. So, Nona, how about you?
Well, you know, I primarily work with entrepreneurs and business people, so I don't actually know a whole lot of people who don't use their coaching as their primary business. But when you guys were talking, I you know, was calling to mind people who had gone through the training who decided to go into other types of fields, like once they'd cleared all the gunk away, becoming an artist or becoming an energy worker or deciding to go back and do something completely different because they no longer were operating under the old mental constructs that they had been before. You know, I was thinking about the impact that coaching has had in my family, mm-hmm. for crying out loud, my immediate family, my extended family. And I, you know, the stories of the changes that are made just in the circle of influence of the coaches that I know, you know, not just on clients, but just in their lives in general. I mean, Susan, I know that that's been true for you. I know that's true for Jill. Everybody that I know who's a coach that I speak with, they talk about how their lives have been changed and the people around them have been changed as a result. I mean, I think of how my husband has handled, you know, the news of not being promoted to colonel, and how, you know, I've been able to coach him through it. I mean, the impact is endless. The wave that it creates is so much larger than just a business. That, I mean, I think keeping that in mind and holding that in your heart, no matter what you decide to do with it, at the end of the day, it is absolutely life-changing, earth-shattering stuff when you look at the impact it has.
Yeah, I mean I mean I blog endlessly about the effect that it has had on my parenting, the effect that it's had on my kids. I actually just joked on Facebook yesterday that Emily, my 13-year-old daughter, her grandpa, who is in his 80s, asked her recently, we were at her cousin's high school graduation, and he said, you know, so Emily, you know, what do you think you want to do when you grow up? And she said, oh, I'm going to Columbia University, and I'm going to be a writer. And he started talking to her. He was so like, oh, really? Do you know? He starts naming all the presidents that have gone to Columbia. And she, of course, knows all this. And they're jamming back and forth about this. And then she says, oh, and, you know, if it doesn't work out, my backup plan is I'm going to be a famous bassist in a famous rock band. And I started laughing because I thought only the kid of a life coach would have the backup plan to be a famous rock star. Like most kids are like, you know, I want to go into music, but my backup plan is to be an accountant. Nope, not my kid. She's going to be a writer or a rock star, which, of course, I was like, rock on, of course.
course. Of course. Absolutely. That's so great. Yeah. I mean, and that endless ripple, you know, it's just an endless ripple in workplaces, in people's lives. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is. So we talked just a little bit about other coaches that we know who are doing big things in the world by using their tools, not as entrepreneurs. And we talked a little bit about how using the coaching tools in everyday life, of course, will enrich not just your life, but your families and those around you. And you will, of course, hear on and on, endlessly throughout this training, how to live it to give it. Of course, that's the number one thing that we need to do as coaches, is be walking the talk and practicing what we preach. So thank you again, Jill and Nona, for jamming on this topic. I so appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Susan.
All right. Yeah, it's really cool to be able to just every time we teach this class and every new cohort, we realize the brilliance of people when they get tuned into that original medicine. Every single cohort, people come up with new ways that nobody else has thought of before to use these tools and make the world a better place, and it's really cool to be a part of.
Great point.
I love that, Jill.